Okay, we resume our meeting, and we are going to discuss leasing. Katrina, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, and good afternoon, good morning to the FSB. It's agenda paper 3A we're going to be discussing. And the topic is a number of sweep issues that we've identified as we're going through the drafting process and drafting the revised leases exposure draft. There are sort of, as I say, three issues in the paper with three separate questions for you, but because those issues are sort of interrelated, what I plan to do is just tee off the entire paper at the start and then hand over to all of you for discussion. The first issue in the paper relates to lease components and actually separating out lease components. I'm just going to draw your attention during the tee up to paragraph 11 in the paper. Basically, in our revised exposure draft, it will require an entity to allocate consideration to each lease component within a contract. Yeah. Now, we have clearly got quite a lot of guidance on identifying whether there is any lease within a contract. But if you've concluded that there is a lease, but that the lessee actually obtains the right to use more than one asset, then at the moment we don't have any guidance that tells people how to work out whether you should consider that to be one lease or actually more than one lease that should be classified and accounted for separately. So we're suggesting in the paper that we would add some more guidance, and that guidance would be based on some of the decisions that you've made as part of the revenue recognition project in identifying separate performance obligations. And that's why I want to draw your attention to paragraph 11 in the paper, because that's where we've included kind of a draft of maybe the suggested wording that we've got. Now, one thing to say is that when we put together this paper and we put that sort of suggested wording there in paragraph 11, that really is our kind of leases version of what is in paragraph 28 of the Revenue Recognition ED, the 2011 ED. One thing that was raised at the education sessions we had with you was whether on their own those words in paragraph 11 would be enough. Or given that there are sort of two paragraphs in revenue recognition that work together, there was the sort of paragraph 28 in the ED as well as sort of paragraph 29 that talks about, you know, when goods are sort of highly interrelated, would we need to add those kind of extra highly interrelated words here? Just to explain, when we were putting the paper together, from our perspective as staff, we don't disagree with those extra sort of highly interrelated words, and we don't necessarily think that would change our conclusions in this paper in terms of examples. It's just when we put the paper together, we thought the words in paragraph 11 were enough without anything else. And saying that, since the education sessions, we've thought about it a bit more, and at least from our perspective, if you think that it would be helpful to add in sort of Lisa's version of that paragraph 29, we don't anticipate that causing any problems, and we could certainly do so. If I move on to the second issue, second and third issues in the paper really relate to classification, but they flow through from the first decision in a sense. So if we've now decided, okay, that we've worked out whether there are one or more lease components, but we've concluded there is just one lease component, that component may still include, you know, possibly property elements and equipment elements. And then there's a question of, well, how does an entity go about working out whether they consider the lease to be a property lease or an equipment lease in those situations? And in paragraph 26 of the paper, there are some examples of where that, you know, issue might arise. Again, we're suggesting adding some guidance in the exposure draft. And what our recommendation is that an entity would do that and work out what the lease is based on the nature of the primary asset within the component. And as I say, the paper suggests that would kind of be a qualitative assessment. Again, paragraph 26 in the paper is probably where it's relevant, where we've included examples, and those examples kind of show well, how, they sort of illustrate how we think the recommendations work, actually both with issue one and issue two. And just to clarify, I think when we put the examples together, we did sort of include an assumption that property, when we talk about a property lease, we really are just talking about land or a building. Our interpretation is that property didn't go beyond land or a building. Moving on to the last issue in the paper, and this is specifically relating to a property lease. So we've decided there is a property lease, but of course some of those property leases can still have sort of land and building elements to them. And there's a question as to whether we think that when you're classifying that property lease, should you actually separate out lease payments and look at the land and building elements separately? And the only reason this question arises really is that there is some guidance today, both in IFRS and US GAAP, that sort of requires that allocation, at least in some situations. Our recommendation is no, for the reasons given in the paper. But I just wanted to highlight, I suppose, or clarify the recommendation section of the paper here, which is in paragraphs 43 to 46 in the paper. The recommendation section is probably a bit more complicated than it usually is, but we think we did that for a good reason, not just to make your life difficult. So it's just to clarify that our recommendation is in paragraph 43, and that clearly says no. Our recommendation is we don't think you should require, you know, the allocation to the different elements. However, we wanted to include sort of what we thought was our second best option, if you didn't go there. And sort of our second best option, we thought, is in paragraph 45 of the paper. And what paragraph 45 says, okay, we maybe wouldn't require allocation in every situation, but maybe only when you've concluded that the overall lease is a type 1 lease. What's in paragraph 46 of the paper is not our recommendation, but it basically says if you disagree with us and you think you would like to have, you know, an allocation of lease payments between land and building elements, then if we decide to do that, then we would recommend providing some relief on that and providing a practical way of doing that allocation. So with that, I'll hand you back to Hans.
Overall, I'm happy with all the recommendations. I just have one question on the first issue, separation. And I ask a question because I don't want to add unnecessary complexity to our standard. If, in looking at the contract, you identify two elements under the same contract, which are assessed as being of the same nature, i.e. type 2 leases. Both are property. And same period of lease. And one payment for the whole. What's the benefit of separating then the two and accounting for two sub-elements? You may disclose in the explanations about what type of leases you have, you may explain what it is that you lease, but to have separate accounting, which will not result in different measurement, but just having two lines, I don't see that as being necessary, and I would not require that it would be done.
I think a concept, so Philippe, I know you raised this yesterday at the education session, so it's right to say that a consequence of our recommendation, in a sense, would imply that, and I think you picked up example four in the paper,
yes,
so it's a good one to use. Maybe example four, where we potentially would say there's two lease components, and therefore, if you go with our recommendation, that would say, you know, the standard sort of say, therefore, you account for that as two separate leases. If when you classified this, you ended up reaching, a type two lease conclusion, they're both property lease components, they would both be type two. Let's assume the lease is the same term. I think you're right to say, from an accounting perspective, there really wouldn't be any difference. I mean, in that situation, we could decide we wanted to add something that says you don't have to account for them separately. I almost think, though, that maybe without saying that, there's still the possibility that, obviously, when any entity puts together its financial statements, it only has to, you know, effectively maybe separate out for presentation or anything else, anything where, you know, it's material and really makes a difference to the reader of the
financial statements. I will leave it open and let them present as they wish, but I would not put a requirement. that the separate elements which will be measured in the same way are in the same nature, this type 2 property leases. And this is done after having met an assessment of the criteria, how much you consume. So if you concluded that in both cases you consume less than a significant portion of the economic value, then I would not go further and would leave the presentation dealt with by disclosures and an option to present material elements separately if they wish. But it might not be very material.
We go.
The first one on the components, I generally agree with staff proposal, but I have three questions to ask. First one about the guidance. Please look at paragraph 11. And I don't exactly like the one of the sentences. That is, at the end of the first paragraph, you know, the small ones, the resource that the lessee has already obtained from the lessor or from other transaction or event. But particularly if you link to example 9, and yesterday during education session I mentioned, it depends on the arrangement of the transaction. Assume we ISB rent this floor for 10 years already, and because of expansion of the staffing, and we decide to expand another floor, and whether we should consider two transactions or not, it depends on the arrangement. And if, you know, we extend to another floor and extend the lease, renew the lease this floor separately, of course, two transactions. If we signed with the lessor, you know, after 10 years, form a new lease, and just like the PK, you said, the modification of lease contract, and extend this floor for another 10 years, also lease another floor for another 10 years, and this is a new lease, and totally, you can say, modification of the contract, I would say it's only one component, not two components. So this is why I say that we should, I'm not sure, delete or change that part of the paragraph, and also we should figure out the transaction very carefully. It depends, as I said. And should I answer one by one?
No. Go on.
And a second one is the I agree with, you know, the proposal, but during outreach meetings, you know, some of the constituencies ask many times about the componentization of the lease contract. Particularly, someone mentioned the aircraft lease, and our South African friend Kevin raised several times of their trucks or big trucks. He always say, you know, in the mining industry, and I'm not sure what's the relationship between the components we are discussing here and the componentization they raised several times. And I'm not against your proposal, but I'm not sure whether it's the same issue or not. So these are the two issues are raised in this section.
I suppose the second I'll address first, Oniwegu, because I know you asked the same question yesterday, and that is more an ISB only question because it's to do with componentization of depreciation amortization. So I suppose my question is, I'm happy to respond again, but I'm probably going to give you the same responses yesterday. So is it that, I mean, is this something you need to get me to repeat now, or was it, is there an extra question on what I told you yesterday that wasn't clear in my response?
Yesterday.
Oh, okay, so you'd just like me to, okay. No problem. I can certainly say the same thing again, and hopefully it'll
but
be...
Perhaps we can all do it a bit shorter than if we have already done it.
Yeah, I'll try my best.
yesterday's recording.
Yesterday's meeting was also a topic.
Yes, I'll try my best. Basically, we think that what we're suggesting is still fully in there. It's what we're suggesting around lease components may mean that there are some you know, that it may do some of the componentization in a sense that IS 16 requires. So, you know, if the boards agree with our recommendation on lease components, that may piece up things into two different pieces already. What I would say is, even if it doesn't, the way we've drafted around how amortization works, you would still be able to get to, even if you conclude there's one lease component, but you think it's appropriate to have different, you know, amortization of different pieces of the lease, then you could still do that via amortization guidance.
One thing, Petrina, that you should be careful, you know, is because of our current proposal, we have two classifications and one straight line. If, you know, under the current model and a proposed model, pure, you know, derecognition, pure financing lease models account for the asset and liability separately. And now, you know, if you account for under straight line methodology and, you know, the accounting for the amortization or depreciation of the asset is separately, there's some link rather than separately, and should be careful. This is why, you know, some of them raise this issue again, and please check, you know, and okay.
On your first issue, I think it's just a question of maybe that example 9, or intention with it maybe isn't crystal clear because we have a very summarized fact pattern. What we were assuming in this example was this was fully agreed right at the start of the lease. So it was already at the start of the 10-year period, it was already agreed that we would lease, say, one floor for 10 years and the second floor for 5 years. I understand what you're saying. I think you're just saying that there could be slightly different fact patterns written in a different way, and I think that could get you to a different answer. But I think what we...
As to the guidance, do you think it is correct, or we should refine it based on what I just say, you know. You understand?
Do you mean in the context of example 9?
No. Look at the paragraph 9, 11. You know, the guidance.
Mm-hmm.
You see? I say that, you know, the last part of the first paragraph, the resource that the lessee has already obtained from other transactions or event,
mm-hmm.
and use the example,
mm-hmm.
It's okay, but use my examples,
mm-hmm.
who were different from this one. You understand?
I
should then probably not use your examples. So
no.
I think I understand.
My example is also in, but different conclusion. You understand?
Okay.
Yes. No, I think I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
So, this is only first part.
How many parts do you have?
Third part. Only two parts, you see. Three parts, I have no problem at all, the second part. And third part, you know, since I will pick and I will defend, so I will not fully support at all the two alternatives. But if you want to follow your suggestions, and I feel not uncomfortable, you also propose to bring in the current U.S. requirement related to the valuation of the land size. Your proposal is, you know, the fair value multiplied by the
incremental borrowing.
Yes. I have two questions related to that. It's, first one, what does that result mean? And because use relative fair value allocation is quite straightforward, everybody understand. But that particular rule, what does that particular rule means?
Don't
I feel hard to understand.
Don't we only want this one if we disagree with the others?
Yeah.
So maybe we could explain it.
No.
If we disagree, yeah.
Yeah. So I think what Ayn's saying, Wegu, is that only comes into play if you disagree with our staff recommendation.
So
that's not our recommendation. We're saying if you disagree with our recommendation, then we would suggest adding this.
Okay. But now, if I agree with you, I have another problem. that is remaining live. And for the equivalentless lease transaction, we intentionally propose to use whole life regardless of the remaining life. And we particularly use example in the draft, the real car. It seems quite, you know, economic makes sense, but, you know, principally, people were challenges. But in this case, we propose otherwise, say, for the property, you know, issue use remaining life. I don't think it's necessary to create further inconsistency by ourselves.
Jiang Wu?
Yes, very short one. I hope this is education session continued. But I'm just wondering, you know, the allocation level on question three, you have one lease component. We are deciding whether is on the on elements will better allocate the price or not. So I'm wondering, you know, the level of allocation, when we should stop allocation, on what level. So I mean, I'm saying, you know, that I agree with the, your suggestion on question three, but the justification of that answer is, I'm wondering, we should keep allocating until there are some specific elements or mini elements. When do you stop? That's the question.
Well, I think, do you need me to respond?
I think if I'm right,
Chung, you're agreeing with the recommendation, because are you suggesting that if we decide to allocate down to land and building elements, it almost implies where do we stop? Do we go down to that level and go down? So I think you're agreeing with us, and maybe part of your thinking is that once you get to the point of saying there's just one lease component and therefore a lessee can only benefit from this thing at that level, you know, it can't benefit from the pieces of that at a lower level, it's maybe slightly artificial to possibly go lower.
Any other comments, questions? Over to you, Leslie.
Just never got no sound.
Leslie, we don't hear you at all.
And you're muted too. Hang on.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah, now it's fine.
Just a quick question. I agree with the staff recommendations in the paper, but as Philippe was talking about whether or not there's a real need to separate out the components if they are the same, you know, classification, and practically speaking, whether that would, you know, really happen or would be necessary. I was first of all thinking that in light of the lessee side of things, but I just wondered, on the lessor side of things, let's say you have a lease that is for multiple pieces of equipment. So therefore, you could say you have multiple components of the same type. Is it possible that whether you combine those or keep them separate, it could have an effect on your evaluation of the residual value of the individual pieces? In other words, if you consider them as a group, perhaps the combined residual is a different amount than if you took the individual pieces and added them up.
On the lessor side, that would be a risk of keeping all the components and accounting for them as one, because I guess theoretically you could mask an impairment in one particular asset by grouping them together. But on the lessor side, even just more from a practical perspective, I think the lessor is going to need to know the amount on an asset-by-asset basis. Because let's say if I leased you 100 trucks, let's say, and lease classification was the same and the payments were the same, on day one, it doesn't matter if I account for it as one or as 100 individual. Down the road, you decide to modify a few of the leases or return a few of the trucks or exchange cars, then you need to know at the individual lease level what the balances are and do the accounting. On the lessee side of the equation, Philippe is right to the extent that it's not just that both assets are property, but it's that both assets are property and they're classified as type 2. But the point of the guidance that the staff has and the point of that example we have, I think it's example 4, is that you could have two different conclusions. You could conclude that the land is type 2, so you'd have straight line for the land, but you could conclude that the building is type 2, where you'd have interest in amortization. I'm sorry, that the building is type 1, so you'd have interest in amortization.
Well, it's also compounded by if the lease terms aren't the same. So it isn't just same class.
That is true. My view is if the lease terms were different for some of the assets, it would be very difficult to argue you have one component.
So at the educational session, we had a lot of debate about building-specific paragraph ED, but the need to bring the one in that caused it to be interrelated.
Paragraph 29.
29. I actually think, based on your examples, you are doing that. The example that I raised about whether something was integral equipment and how you link it, I actually got comfortable with the result in your recommendation because of the. So I think you're bringing that concept in, although I would encourage just to perhaps enhance paragraph 11 to bring in that interrelated. With respect to the other recommendations, I agree, although, as you know from the ed session, I do disagree with the result of example 8 in paragraph 26, because I actually think a cell tower is property. I think a cell tower is equivalent to an office building. And so I would have concluded that the primary asset there is property, because both the land and the tower, in my opinion, is property. I think what you're doing as a lessee is you're leasing space. I think it's the same thing you're doing when you're leasing an office building space, because this is based on the tower, not the telecommunication equipment put on the tower. I think that would be equivalent, but space in the tower would be good property, in my opinion.
On your first point, Russ, the staff has spent some time thinking about that, in particular with Tom's comments, and we agree with that we need to include a little bit more in the definition of a component. That was our intention, and that's how we're analyzing the example. So we will do that in drafting. On your second point, I think the only way to reach that conclusion that something like a cell phone tower would not start in a type 2 classification would be, for it not to start in type 2, so meaning it would have to start in type 1, would be for the board to change, what we're saying is type 1 versus type 2.
I disagree with that, because I think the tower, it is, to me, I can't understand the difference between a tower and a building. So if you say that, then I think a building is equipment. And I don't think anybody thinks a building is equipment. Both are attached to land, but both just pretty much destroy their value when you take it away from the land, because there is a concrete slab you stick in the land. So I want to make sure we're not confusing the equipment you put on the tower from the tower.
No, we're not. I mean, we're looking at it as the overarching principle is to what degree are you consuming the asset? And then the board's put in place a practical expedient to help preparers apply that principle. So at least the office looked at a tower and said, well, the life of the tower is 20 years. And we thought that was very different than the life of a building. So based on that, we said, based on that, plus the fact that it's not, quote unquote, a land or a building, we said you would have to start in type 1 category.
So to be clear, we're not planning to provide prescriptive guidance in the standard about whether a cell tower is property or would one way to be to handle this be to say, here are my assumptions. The useful life of it is X. The lease is for this percentage of it, and therefore you get to...
If we included this example, I think it would make sense for us to have more facts, but we are defining property for the purposes of the lease classification test as a land or a building.
So then you're going to get into debate about a building. If I put walls around a tower, it's a building?
Other comments?
But I think by concluding it's equipment, we've already answered that question. Because the memos are public, the debate is public, and if we want it to be equipment, I don't think you need to do anything. If we don't think it should be equipment, I think we'd have to at least in somewhere say we don't think a cell tower is equipment.
Other comments?
I'm pleased that you're adding the paragraph 29 analog to the paragraph 11 of this memo.
And I don't think you said it at this meeting. You're referring to the paragraph in the red brick.
Yeah, the paragraph 29 appendix A of red brick.
Comments? Okay, are we ready to vote? Okay, let's see. Shall I take these one at a time? Why don't I try and take them all together? In paragraph 6, the staff has summarized all of their recommendations. So why don't we just ask who disagreed with the staff recommendations? Any one of them, and then if there's anything you disagree with for the record, I'll ask specifically what. Any disagreement? Okay. We're in unanimous support of the staff recommendations here.
Do we have the same result here?
Yes. Subject to what they say.
Yes.
I think with modification, I suggested in the guidance.
Is this to what we've got in paragraph 11 in the paper? I think that we are going to look at that paragraph 11 to also take account of, you know, some of the other suggestions around paragraph 9 of RevRec, et cetera. So subject to some drafting modifications.
With that clarification. Everybody agrees with the recommendation, yes? Okay. All right, we have agreement here, too.
I don't agree with the question 3, so if we are getting there. So I think Wegu also doesn't agree with question 3.
I agree with the standard, and so nor do you.
Two voting against.
Otherwise,
the third.
No.
Did, are you voting against question 3, Wegu?
No. So we already vote?
Yes.
I knew that.
That's how we do that. That's how we do that.
No, they are attached to the recommendation. We all agree?
The question was for the entire package. So
yes,
all
that's why I said for you ago. I supported you.
I agree, no.
Further.
Two disagreeing with question 3.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That's not true.
Leslie, you want to have your lunch break? Or you want to continue?
Bill, can we please take 30 minutes, and then we can resume at quarter past?
Okay, fine.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.